Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Are you working? What kind of work do you do?
This is the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Touchdown, baby!
Now, here are your hosts, two-time All-American punter Drew Butler.
Mark Richt would like Drew Butler to hit it a mile in the air. And he did. What a kick.
And the SEC's career leader in touchdown passes and completions, Aaron Murray.
Touchdown in stride as he crosses the goal line. Put it right on his hip. What a throw.
Now, with the latest from around the SEC and the world of college football, it's the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Get to the house, sideline, pylon, touchdown, and the Dogs are on the board first.
Victory is mine. Yeah, surprisingly, I've been lame. Waiting for your next mistake. I put in work and watch my status escalate.
Welcome in to the Punt and Pass Podcast. I'm your host, Drew Butler, joined alongside my co-host, Aaron Murray. Be sure to follow us on social media, at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram. I am at Drew Butler. Aaron is at AaronMurray11. And head on over to puntandpass.com, the number one destination in the world of college football. We got our YouTube page there. Dude, the YouTube comments get kind of crazy. I don't know if you've noticed, Aaron, heading over to the Punt and Pass YouTube page, but people love watching us on YouTube. They love commenting. We got a lot of chatter from last Thursday's episode, of course, regarding the injury to JT Daniels, which we will dive into on this recap show. But we love it. So go subscribe over on YouTube. Check out puntandpass.com. I went 5-0 against the spread on my picks. Once again, ooh, I am back. And you went 3-2. Our locks are not exactly locks right now. The door is wide open. We're each 1-4 through the first 5 weeks, but we are going to get it right back. What a great weekend of college football, Aaron. You were out in L.A. calling the Hawaii-Fresno State game from the studio. Little late night island action with our boy Aaron Murray on the call, but you're back in Atlanta now. How are you, brother?
Good, man. And it was interesting. I tell you what, calling a game from monitors is not anywhere near. It felt like, you know, I'm sipping on a Diet Coke, eating some food, calling a game. It felt like I'm sitting on my couch at home.
That's pretty funny.
The calling a game with Noah.
Manning cast.
Yeah, it was interesting. And especially being so late, I had to keep like reminding myself, bring energy, drink more Diet Coke, drink more coffee.
Yeah.
Literally, I couldn't sleep.
What time did you go to bed? Like 4 a.m.? Your heart was just pounding out of your chest.
So amped up on caffeine all night. But listen, it was a great game.
It was.
Hawaii minus their quarterback. How about this crap?
So right, we're before literally kickoff, right?
5 minutes before kickoff, the SID text us saying, hey, starting quarterback is out. And we have like half our intro, like the 2 minute intro is about him. So we get on with our producer. And I mean, we're 4 minutes till like.
Yeah, till air. Time. Yeah.
And we're like, starting quarterback is now out for the game. So that, you know, that 45 seconds of showing highlights on him needs to go. And now we have to transition to talking about the backup for Hawaii. But backup, rough first three quarters, made some plays in the second or in the fourth quarter, excuse me. And Hawaii with the big upset on the island.
Yeah.
First time winning a versus a ranked opponent in like 10 plus years. So I wish we were there because they kept showing like highlights or images of the island.
Of course.
And I'm like, oh my God, I could have been on those beaches feeling real good for the past 5 days.
But yeah.
LA was straight.
That's awesome. Yeah, it was an exciting game to tune in. Obviously, I was flipping in between that and the end of the Auburn-LSU game, which we'll break down, of course, a little bit later. But first things first, I mean, the elite have separated themselves from the pack, Aaron, and that, of course, is Alabama and Georgia. Number one ranked Alabama, number two ranked Georgia, taking care of business in big ways this weekend, okay? Alabama wiping the floor with Ole Miss 42-21. It was not as close as the scoreboard shows right there. And then Georgia, 30 37-0. The past two games have been shutouts. This defense is so legit. The crowd looked awesome in Athens. A noon kick, Fowler and Herb Street. Our boy Harris English was the guest picker on College Game Day. I'm so happy it wasn't Quavo and that it was our boy Harris English picking the games on Game Day. Such a cool atmosphere for Georgia to kind of be the premier show of the weekend. But this team, Aaron, I mean, put me at quarterback and we'll have a chance to win a football game. As soon as they went up 14-0, I was like, oh, this game's over.
Yeah, it was done real fast. It was done as soon as Arkansas got the ball and had two back-to-back offsides penalties. I'm like, game's over.
Yeah.
Games are first and 20. They're not going to get a first down. Georgia's going to get great field position, go down there, score again, and it's done. It is donezo. And I've been pondering this question for the past 24 hours because I watched both games. I actually watched Georgia's game twice. I went and watched the coach's copy on the plane ride back to Atlanta. And I just don't – I kind of want to say I'm more impressed with Alabama's win than I am Georgia's. I know Georgia's.
Really?
Okay. Because I thought Ole Miss, and I still think Ole Miss is a better football team than Arkansas, and Ole Miss's offense is one of the best, if not the best, offenses in the country. Alabama was up 35-0.
Like,
I knew, you and I deep down inside knew that Georgia was going to blow out Arkansas.
We did, and we said so.
And then I know you picked Alabama to cover the spread, but I don't think you were expecting Alabama to.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Yes. I think Alabama and listen, it's a coin toss. I mean, these are it's 1-2 and there's no one else even close in the country.
Yeah, I agree
with
that.
No one is even close right now. I don't know what's going to happen when these two face each other in Atlanta at the end of the season. No idea at all. And we got plenty more football to kind of see what unfolds. But what Alabama did defensively, and then obviously we know what they can do offensively, did to Ole Miss was one of the most impressive things I've seen. Because that Ole Miss offense is it's a thing of beauty. You don't see defenses at all slow them down.
Yeah.
So I thought that was impressive. And I had a really good feeling Georgia was going to slow down Arkansas. If you're one-dimensional against Georgia's defense, especially if your one dimension is running the football, you're going to die because that's Georgia's bread and butter. That front seven is going to eat you alive, and that's what they did the entire football game.
Yeah, you mentioned those first two plays for Arkansas. First off, huge credit to Georgia and Stetson Bennett for just going straight down the field in that first possession and putting 7 points on the board. I mean, that was a we came here to play ball type drive to start the game. And then Arkansas got the ball in the east end zone, of course, right there by the student section. Two consecutive false starts to start the game. I talked to my dad afterwards. My dad was on the field. He goes, loudest I've ever heard. He goes, seriously, it was maybe the loudest he's ever heard Sanford Stadium at noon, right in that moment, a top 10 matchup in Athens, number 8 Arkansas, number 2 Georgia. I saw a really cool video on Twitter today. I was just trying to find it when you were talking. If somebody has it, please send it to me at Drew Butler, at Punt and Pass, at Aaron Murray 11. But somebody has the video, the audio tape of the TV copy, and they took all the announcers' voice out of it. So all you can hear is the crowd, and they've elevated the crowd noise, and they're right there in the student section with the sky can't. It is loud as hell. I mean, these guys can't hear anything. Yeah. And then you saw them jump twice, one the right tackle, false start, and then I think the left guard on the second one, like, just started the play. He thought the ball was snapped.
I just love it. I mean, you go from last year, and it's not just the Georgia game, but I mean, how many times were we watching football this weekend? And it's been the entire season. But offenses, I mean, look at Florida versus Kentucky.
Yeah.
How many times did Florida jump off sides and shoot themselves in the foot over and over and over again? That didn't happen last year. No fans in the stands. It's quiet.
You're
opposing quarterback, and you're out there doing the hard cadence because you can use it.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, these fans, and this is what makes, in my mind, college football so much more special than the NFL. And I love watching the NFL, don't get me wrong. I'll be tuning in to watch the Bucs here in about 15, 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
But the fans make the difference.
Oh, it's huge.
The quality of football in the NFL is better. You know, not being a four-hour game is great. When you watch an NFL game, all that's awesome. But when you turn it on and you see these stadiums, you see the fans, you see the energy, you feel it, and it causes that many issues for opposing teams, it makes me so happy that we're back to normal football.
No, you're totally right. I mean, Saturday night, Death Valley, Bo Nix making crazy plays. Those fans are going nuts. Obviously, Tuscaloosa, 3:30, CBS, Lane Kiffin coming to town. Those fans were going nuts. Georgia, the scene speaks for itself. Penn State, another night game. Now they're ranked number 3 in the country I think Iowa might be 3. Penn State might be 4. We got a great matchup coming up this weekend between Iowa and Penn State in the Big Ten. But that's what college football is all about. It's awesome. And speaking of that, okay, let's kind of wrap, put a bow on this Georgia victory. A huge victory. I said it last week. You said it last week. Arkansas is not ready. Look, Georgia is on another level. This defense is elite. I loved how much they did run the ball. They didn't have to throw the ball. How many times did they throw the ball? 7? Is that right?
11? It wasn't a lot.
No, 7 or 11, I want to say.
See, I'm looking up right now. Box score. Passes thrown 7 for 11.
7 for 11. Okay, so obviously last Thursday we were talking about the phantom lat injury that happened to JT Daniels. Now, obviously not a phantom lat injury, but he had the oblique. It kind of snuck around to his lat. And then Friday night, Saturday morning, it was like, hey, Stetson's playing. And I'm going, wow. I'm just kind of listening. I'm going, wow, this is crazy. I'm sitting there going, this is crazy. Credit to Stetson Bennett, okay, first off. The guy is so cool, calm, and collected for such a big moment. I mean, that is a huge-ass game for Georgia. And he goes in there and he commands the offense. He uses his legs to extend the play, move the chains, keep continuing to run the ball, calm everybody down in that moment. And I just got to give him a ton of credit. The guy is ready when he is called upon. And who knows how this is going to continue to roll out throughout the season. But I think you were onto something last week when you said it seems like the coaches are making it a point to play Stetson in the first 4 weeks because maybe they just simply can't trust or rely on JT to be there week in and week out, which obviously is proving to be true 5 weeks through the season. Keep in mind, Georgia has beaten 2 top 10 teams, and then they've dismantled the rest of the competition, which has been below average, but still, it speaks volumes to the readiness of Stetson Bennett, his ability to lead this offense, and most importantly, I think just to manage an environment, which is really important, especially with a team as good as Georgia.
Stetson, and I would love to, if there's a way to go back and just figure out this stat somehow, Stetson has won more games than any JT quarterback. Not saying that. Has won more games as a starting quarterback with less practice reps than any college quarterback of all time, I think.
Yeah.
I go back to last season when JT transferred in, when the dude from Wake Forest, I'm drawing his blank now.
Jamie Newman
transferred in. Those guys are getting all the reps. You know, I went to the scrimmage. You remember I told you last year, I'm at the scrimmage. I'm in the stadium. It's August. We're still trying to figure out if there's a season or not a season, all that stuff. But Stetson didn't get any reps in the entire scrimmage. Besides when everyone went in at halftime, he got reps with the freshmen, the walk-ons. That's it. That's all he got. Fast forward 2 weeks later, he's now the starting quarterback for Georgia.
Yeah.
And barely got any reps with the number ones.
That's important. I'm
sure this offseason got no reps with the ones because of JT getting, you know, figuring out his timing and everything and getting going. This kid has had barely any reps with the starting unit.
Yeah.
And just keeps doing what he needs to do. He's ready to go. He works his tail off. He knows the offense inside and out. I mean, it's honestly one of the most impressive things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Kid that gets no reps is just said, you just get third stream reps. You get fourth stream reps. You can work with the walk-ons. You can work with the freshmen. Okay, coach, fine with me.
Yeah.
But I'm here. Whenever you need me, I'm ready to go. And he just answers the bell every single time. And I just absolutely love it. I love the kid. And the running attack, man, it was good to see. And that's exactly what you have to do versus Arkansas.
For sure.
But we said last week, it's tough to throw the football against that 3-3-5 because they got too many safeties. There's just not really a lot of holes. But what you can do is you can run at them. And you can make them force them to get out of that, get a safety in the box, and then see if you can throw from there. But they didn't have to. They beat them up front. It was good to see the offensive line really dominate. 273 rushing yards, almost 5 yards a pop, 3 touchdowns. And it was just like one back after another after another. James is in, Zamir's in, Kenny's in, Kendall's in, Stetson's doing his thing.
Yeah.
Edwards came in. I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah. I mean, it's just an onslaught of talent and depth and fresh legs. And you can just wear people down. And leaning on that defense is just obviously such a huge advantage for any offense. George is in a really good position. The only question mark they have, Aaron, moving forward is the quarterback position. It's kind of weird how it's all playing out. Again, I think it's important to understand that you and I prognosticating and talking about this situation comes from our previous experience within a locker room, okay? Like, that is how our opinion around what's happening here is coming across. And this is what's crazy to me. Right before kickoff, when Holly Rowe is talking to Kirby Smart and Kirby Smart says Stetson's going to be the starter, she said, what is the deal with JT Daniels? And he said, quote, his lat is bothering him. Okay. I looked around and I go, okay. His lat's bothering him. He's not going to play. KJ Jefferson, knee sprain a week ago, Arkansas's quarterback. He got in there and played. After the game, Seth Emerson from The Athletic reports, and this is a quote from Stetson Bennett, quote, I was the starter all week. JT had something going on. It's so interesting to me because the Arkansas game, Aaron, was really the start of the meat of Georgia's schedule. Okay, Georgia's heading to Auburn this weekend, and then they're going to welcome in Kentucky, who just upset Florida. Then you get a bye week, and you got to go down to Jacksonville and play Florida, which really you could wrap up the SEC East that weekend if you take care of business. Indecision at the quarterback position is the only thing that can hold this Georgia team from just freaking taking off into the stratosphere. And it's unfortunate because you know you have the talent. You want JT to get healthy. If he's not 100% and he doesn't want to put the team in a bad position, I guess you let Stetson go. But we all see JT's talent. We all understand how Stetson can lead this football team. If you have two quarterbacks, you have none. I want to know who the starter is. And I guess my question to you is this. If JT does says he's healthy, do you just say, okay, you're the starter again? Stetson's playing pretty damn good football right now. Is there an incoming quarterback controversy?
I don't think so. I think if JT's healthy, I think JT's the starting quarterback. Once again, I love Stetson. I love what he does. But I think JT is more talented. I think we can agree on that one. You know, Stetson can run the football. I mean, that's the big difference. And I was having this talk with my dad last night about this. He's like, oh, well, Stetson's great. I was like, you know, first off, Stetson didn't get, you know, wasn't asked to do a ton. You know, what he does, he comes in, he's very efficient. But there is a big difference when JT's the quarterback and the ability to push the ball down the field. The vertical passing attack, it's not existent when JT's the quarterback, or excuse me, when Stetson's the quarterback. That's the big difference in my mind. If you really want to have a chance to beat Alabama, you can't just run the football.
Yeah.
If you want to beat Alabama, you're going to have to attack the secondary. You're going to have to get chunk plays. You're going to have to score points. For how good our defense is, you're still going to have to score 28 to 35 points to beat Alabama.
Yeah.
I do. I mean,
100%.
If you put Georgia's defense against Alabama right now, Alabama would still get, in my opinion, somewhere in the 20s, which is incredible. I mean, if you hold Alabama to the 20s in a football game, you are, and they are, the best defense in college football. But saying that, you're going to have to score in the high 20s to low 30s to then win it. And you're not going to be able to do that with our rushing attack. You have to do it throwing the ball vertically down the field. JT is more capable of that. So that's why, in my mind, get him healthy. I still think right now, based on the schedule, you know, Georgia's going to be favorite. They should win every single game. I'm a little bit worried for this weekend. I do think Auburn is better than maybe what we think they are.
But Georgia's defense, it's like you can say Georgia's that and you go, man, Georgia's defense is just so.
But Auburn's defense isn't bad, though.
No, you're right. And, you know, Coach Bobo, obviously, as the offensive coordinator, 3:30 kick, Jordan-Hare Stadium, on the road. Auburn had a big win a week ago. You're 100% correct, Aaron. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. Get JT Daniels healthy. That's when you can really utilize the entire offensive playbook, stretch the field, you know, pass to run, which would be a huge help to Georgia's offense. And down the line, later on in the season, when you're chasing the championship, man, you got to have all hands on deck.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.
Georgia's defense is full of badass dudes. Nolan Smith, Adam Anderson, N'Kobe Dean flies around the football field. Oh my God. I know,
I'm watching the film this morning. The coaches copied this morning, and I'm just like, holy crap.
He's like Rennie. I mean, because Rennie used to be freaking all over the place too, man.
The speed. I mean, so many times it's like, okay, it's a great play call by Arkansas, but Georgia's just faster, better.
Yeah.
And it's just like, how the hell did they get there? How do they do it? So many simulated pressure. So, you know, they'll bring one or two linebackers, but then they'll drop both ends. So you think it's like, oh, my God, they're bringing five, six guys. No, they're just bringing four.
Yeah, and they're getting to the quarterback.
But they're getting to the quarterback, and they're just the way they scheme it up to confuse offensive linemen is it's awesome. But it's at the end of the day, they're just better.
Yeah.
They're faster. They're stronger, better technique. And all 11 of them they play just in such great team ball when you watch the defense. It's a lot of fun to watch. It's a lot of fun to watch the offense. Great weekend, man.
Man, it was. And then you let Georgia score on special teams. You know, we're enough about Georgia. They were awesome. We'll get into that on Thursday's episode. But Cincinnati knocks off.
I was waiting for you to really start bashing Dan Mullen in this episode, especially with his conference after the game.
I saw the conference after the game, Coach Mullen. It's expected. That's what I come to expect from Coach Mullen. So I'm not as surprised as maybe some others would be. But Cincinnati upsets Notre Dame to get a
number five in the country now.
Huge win. They beat Notre Dame 24-13 in South Bend. They are now number five in the country. They have a win over a Big Ten team in Indiana. They have a win over Notre Dame. Now they're going to get into the meat of their AAC schedule, and I would assume that they take care of business. Penn State blanks Indiana 24-0. Number three, Oregon, goes down on the farm against Stanford 31-24. Let's touch on this Alabama game, okay? Pre-game. Jamie Erdahl, CBS Sports, gets Lane Kiffin asking him their usual pre-kick questions, and he says, get your popcorn ready, and freaking chucks his headphone off his head. Like typical Lane Kiffin, obviously highly emotional. I mean, the place was totally packed. It was a bad look, and then Alabama beat the brakes off Ole Miss. I mean, I saw a statistic today. People were bashing Lane Kiffin for going for it on those two first possession fourth downs, right? I think his first two possessions, Ole Miss went for it on fourth and short. And they're like, oh, well, he just lost the game. He just lost the game. He threw in the white towel. He was scared, X, Y, and Z. A football statistician came out today and actually said those were the correct calls from a situational football standpoint to go for it. So obviously, he made the right statistical calls. It backfired in a big way. The route was on early. His pregame interview, I mean, I guess you could call it childish. I think it would have been fine if he didn't throw the headset off. But then Alabama, Big Al, was dancing in the popcorn bucket, and people have been tweeting about it on social media. I'll just put it this way. There are contenders and there are pretenders. And right now, as far as I can tell, Georgia and Alabama are the contenders. I'm really excited to see Iowa and Penn State tilt this upcoming weekend in the Big Ten. I can't really buy either of those teams right now, just because, simply put, they don't have the defense that Georgia and Alabama have.
Well, Iowa is a good defense. Well, but
Penn
not
State's
level.
Secondary is like, I think they're all like fifth-year seniors or something like that. It's something crazy.
Yeah. I mean, listen, we'll see, but I just think from top to bottom, neither of those teams could sniff what Georgia and Alabama have on the field right now. You know, but I mean, they are right now, based on what we've seen from the rest of the country. Obviously, Oregon was a pretender. You know, that's an ugly loss this weekend. I think Oklahoma is a pretender. I think they win the game for Texas this weekend, but that's a team too that they're going to lose eventually.
Yeah.
They just keep playing with fire.
Yeah.
They're going to lose, and they could lose to Texas this upcoming weekend. I think Cincinnati's going to go undefeated. And this weekend, I mean, shoot, Cincinnati could be a top four team after this weekend.
I know.
You know, after this Penn State Iowa game, that Cincinnati is going to move up and really have a chance to make the playoffs, which I absolutely love because I think they are a very good, complete football team. Michigan keeps winning, but I think they're kind of pretenders. I mean, really, Iowa, Penn State, winner of that kind of is in the driver's seat somewhat, but it's still all it is going to be is Georgia, Alabama, and Atlanta.
Oh, God.
Georgia, Alabama, regardless afterwards. It's going to be 1-2. They're still going to be 1-2. They'll win their playoff games, and then they'll have a rematch in the championship game.
That's just – I don't want that to happen. Georgia against Alabama in Indianapolis, Indiana. I mean, give me a break.
Would you rather have – okay, let's say Georgia wins the game. Would you rather have Georgia 1, whoever 2, Alabama 3? Or would you rather say, no, I'd rather see that game because we know they're the best two teams in the country?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's a hypothetical. I guess I would want to see who the four teams are. But, like, you know, I think you'd want to go in there as number one.
Just say if it happened right now, yeah. and say Iowa runs the table the rest of the way, or maybe has one loss, okay. And Cincinnati's in two.
Okay.
So we got Georgia, Alabama, Iowa, Cincinnati.
Yeah, I would want to play. I would want Iowa to be the fourth seed. I would not want Georgia to play Cincinnati again.
Okay, regardless, but I'm saying you'd rather have Georgia, Alabama 1-2.
Yes, 100%. That's all I'm saying. Yes. I see what you're saying now. Yes. Yeah. Sorry, I was confused. I 100% agree with you to where they would have to play
them to play each other. Yes.
Agreed. Totally agree. Florida, probably not going to be in the college football playoff. They lose their second game of the season. Fall to Kentucky in Lexington, 20-13. Look, we all knew that they had questions on the offensive side of the ball. I didn't think it'd be that bad. I mean, I knew 8.5 was way too much. That's why you and I both took Kentucky on punt, pass, and pick last Thursday. But, man, no ability to close. It's a bad loss for Florida. Simply put, it's their second conference loss because they, of course, gave Alabama a good run for their money. But way behind the eight ball now. The schedule's only getting tougher. Penalties killed.
I mean, they were driving, and they looked good, and I thought Emery played fine. It's just when you have 15 penalties for 115 yards – and Kentucky was 4-30. You're not going to win those games. Turnovers were even. Time and possession. I mean, Florida had the ball for 36 minutes compared to Kentucky's 23.
And that's what Mullen said, right? He was talking about yardage and time of possession. And
I mean, a third of your yards that you gained, you've lost on penalties.
Yeah, that's insane.
I mean, you can't win games doing that on the road. I mean, that was the difference in the football game. Florida was the better team. They shot themselves in the foot, and Kentucky took advantage of it.
Yeah. And look, you know, of course, Coach Mullen's going to say those things post-game. I mean, he's going to stick up for his team. They did. They killed themselves with penalties. If you look at the box score, I mean, it looks like Florida should have boat-raced Kentucky.
1-3 on third downs, only 224 total yards. I mean, Kentucky's stat line is atrocious. Florida's is way better. Just the one big difference, the glaring difference, is the penalties.
Yep, penalties will kill you.
But that goes down to, at the end of the day, too, the fans. I mean, that last drive going down the field, and they just can't stay inside the 10-yard line because they keep getting penalties and getting pushed back 5 yards. It's like a positive play. Oh, hey, we're at the 5-yard line. Oh, nope. Next play, full start, back you up to the 10, full start, back you up to the 15. You're like, oh, my goodness, man. Like, just control it. So I don't know what they do going forward. You know, Richardson played a little bit, not a lot. You know, 1-1, 8 yards. What do you have? 5 carries for 25. I still think he needs to get more PT.
Yeah.
If he's healthy, if the hamstring's good to go, I would love to see him get some more playing time. They got a big game this weekend. Actually, no, they don't. They have Vanderbilt. So give him a lot of playing time. Let him even start the damn game versus Vandy.
Yeah, for sure. A little bit more. Florida had 382 total yards. Kentucky, 224. Florida had 21 first downs, Kentucky 13. Florida, time of possession, 36 minutes and 18 seconds. Kentucky, 23 minutes and 42 seconds, which brings up one of my favorite quotes from Bruce Arians. He would always say, I don't give a shit about time of possession. All I care about is time of production. He was like, let's put points on the board. I don't care if you hold the ball for 50 minutes out of the 60. If you can't score points, It doesn't matter. And that, I think, goes to show you exactly when you look at the team statistics of that Florida-Kentucky game. And you got to put the ball in the end zone, or else late in the game, those penalties, shooting yourself in the foot, will kill you. And it did in that game. You know, hey, shout out to Kentucky. 5-0, 3-0 in the conference.
Second best team in the East. I've been saying it all year. They're going to be the second best team in the East. They are right now.
All right, well, what about the West? Because let's wrap this thing up. Number 22, Auburn.
How about the Tennessee?
Oh, yeah. Just, yeah. Look, you know, shout out Rocky Top. Where did that come
from? Holy Rocky Top.
Josh Heupel finding a little love on Rocky Top there. 55? Is that what they scored? 55, 20?
62.
Tennessee. Look, you got to love it, man. You got to love it.
SEC, I mean, this is a team they should have beat Pittsburgh. They should have beat Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Pitt looks like top class in the ACC right now.
I know, and they should have won that game for Pittsburgh. They should have. Dropping the ball. And I'm really happy right now with Hooker at quarterback. So much better decision, more accurate, takes care of the football. I mean, if Hooker was a quarterback versus Pittsburgh, the starter, you know, this team would be 4-1 right now.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you. And, you know, Georgia's.
And they played well versus Florida in the first half. Florida, I mean, just the depth kind of ran away with it. But, you know, Tennessee's has a chance to be a bowl team.
I love it. I love it. All right. You were very adamant. It was your lock of the week last week. LSU at home, -3.5. Auburn's no good. Auburn looked like crap the week before. And I said, hold your horses. Hold on a second. Yeah, they had to pull Bo Nix when they almost lost to Georgia State. Yeah, TJ Finley had to come in the game and save the day. But I just thought, I'm going to take Auburn with the points. Things happen in that series, especially in Baton Rouge, especially when it's a night game. You even brought up the point. First night game, home game with fans since COVID at LSU. I go, just give me the points. And then I'm watching Bo Nix turn into Johnny Manziel right in front of my eyes. I'm like, what the hell is going on? It was really an unbelievable game. LSU couldn't tackle the guy. He kept making play after play. Auburn comes up with a massive win. They beat LSU 24-19 in Death Valley. And, of course, they will welcome Georgia to Jordan-Hare this upcoming weekend in the 3:30 SEC game. So, hey, shout out Auburn. I mean, what a big win.
I mean, Bo Nix was stupid. I mean, it was absolutely amazing. I mean, just tackle the damn dude. Half the times he made those plays, if he didn't make half those plays, LSU wins the game.
Yeah.
I mean, the one where he's rolling out to the right, tight end is in the flat all the way, literally the tight end's on the sideline, Bo reverses field, tight end somehow gets back in the picture after Bo makes four guys miss, throws it in the air. I was like, where the hell is he throwing this football? Some random tight end comes all the way across the field to make the catch for a touch. I was like, oh my God. Yeah. I mean, you said it. Johnny Manziel asked the entire football game. Yeah, you know, I went back and watched the Penn State game this morning. He was doing the same thing in that one. I mean, really. And I said it last week when we talked about after the game versus State, Georgia State, you know, it wasn't Bo Nix's fault. I mean, Bo Nix didn't have his best game. You know, he was a little bit off at times for State, but his receivers were terrible. His offensive line was terrible.
Yeah.
They still can't run the football. I mean, Tank has been, you know, Tank is the best running back in the SEC. One of the best running backs in the SEC, had 9 carries for 27 yards this past week for LSU.
Yeah, I mean, he's not existing.
Both led the team with reception, with rushing yards, with 74. They can't run the football. I mean, all pressure is
well, good luck against Georgia then.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, all pressure right now is on Bo Nix to be Superman. And, you know, I think he's done a good job this year. And I think he needs to be the starting quarterback going forward. Yeah. You know, I don't really like TJ Finley well. It's the craziness has been less on Bo, I think, more in the supporting cast. And you know, obviously that worries me going forward for this team. But he's making a way, you know, he's finding a way to win right now. And he's played better on the road, which is good.
Yeah.
He played well at Penn State.
Yeah.
He played well this weekend versus LSU on the road.
And that was not his MO heading into the season. Yep. I mean, Auburn was down 13-0 in that game. Came back and won 24-19. And I got to give one guy a lot of credit. I know you watch a lot more tape than I do. That's obvious. But Max Johnson throws some amazing footballs. I mean, he can fit it in.
I know.
And I watched him. I was going, damn, this kid's good. Like, he can spin it.
That was not his best game, too. He was very late with his eyes. Auburn did a great job mixing up. They'd, you know, rush 4, rush 3. They had a, you know, a spinner, a defensive end that would kind of wander around. They would drop 8 in the coverage. They were doing a lot, that, you know, a lot of things he hasn't seen. I just think his eyes were late a lot in the football game. Was not his best. You know, obviously he throws, you know, some tremendous passes throughout the game, but I guarantee you he wish he can go back and have about 5-6 of those back and give LSU a better chance to win. But I think he's going to be the best quarterback in the SEC next season.
All right. That's
not in my mind.
That is high praise.
They can't run the ball either. 26 carries for 11 yards. I mean, we talk about Bo having to be Superman. Max has to be Superman, too. They can't run the football. You know, this is still, I said at the end of the season, everyone's so enamored with the passing game. The best teams in the country still know how to run the football first.
Yeah. Yeah. No, 100%. 100%. Remember when I was talking to you earlier in the episode about that video that stripped the commentary so you could just hear the crowd noise? Our buddy Ryan Skates over at the Poor Man's Game Notes just tweeted it out. So I retweeted it at Drew Butler, and it was from Bassin Dog on Twitter. So shout out to Bassin Dog. It's great. Go check it out. I retweeted it so you'll see it on my feed. Okay, let's wrap this thing up. What a great weekend of football. We got another awesome weekend coming up. Week 6. I cannot believe how fast the season goes by once it gets started. But I have one question for you before we go. What about Urban Meyer?
Oh, God.
Urban.
You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to get fired.
He's trying to sabotage himself out so he can go to USC.
Yeah, so he can go to USC. 100%.
Bad look, dude. Bad.
I mean, look. I think we all heard the rumors at Florida of why he left Florida was for shit stuff like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, once a dog, always a dog.
I mean, a dog. Well, hey, look. Just can't do that, man. Come on. Can't do that.
Speaking of dogs, you know, I put in my second request to go to practice on Wednesday. And you know, got another, we'll get back to you.
Really?
Yeah.
Do they view you as Aaron Murray, fantastic alumni, great steward of the university?
Money, that's done all these alumni events this year.
Well, I mean, yeah. You know, obviously, we understand that you work for CBS Sports, but my goodness, you're Aaron Murray. Look, I'm your number one fan. There's no doubt about that. But come on now. What are you going to do? Go in there and videotape it and go send it to Coach Bobo?
Well, and they act like I'm some beat writer that, you know, these other guys that are going in there and typing up articles. I'm just going in there to help me prepare for the game.
Because
like,
you're calling the game.
I'm calling the game. Everything I'm going to be saying is not going to happen until game time. Like, I'm not doing writing articles leading up to the game. This is just for me to talk well about Georgia football as the game is going on TV live.
Yeah, I mean, look, they would let Kirk Herbstreit and Chris Fowler come in. They called the game this past weekend.
Yeah, I need to find a way to ask Kurt if he was allowed and be like, really? Come on.
Interesting. Yeah, Aaron Murray getting called up to the bigs again. I mean, obviously, you've done SEC on CBS in the past, but man, Georgia-Auburn, we're fired up for you, man.
I'm hoping to get Georgia-Kentucky the next week. There's a chance that we get that game, too.
Ooh, I love that. Awesome.
Might get back to back, which would be awesome.
What should the hashtag be on social media to let Aaron Murray go to practice? Let Murray practice. Murray wants to practice, okay?
Murray wants to practice.
He's a grinder. He just wants to get in there and get to work, man.
I mean, it just absolutely kills me that they are just making this so tough for me to go watch a Wednesday practice. And I was texting Bobo today. He's like, yeah, we practice at 3:30. Come on Thursday. Because like, hey, can I come to practice on Thursday? Like, yeah, come on.
Yeah, come 3:30. On. Doors open.
Make sure you just, you know, hit up our SID, just let them know, and doors open. I'm like, thanks, Bobo. I can't go to Georgia's practice, but Auburn, you know, welcome me with open arms over here.
Hashtag let Murray practice.
Yeah.
At least one quarterback wants to. My man Murray, get him in there.
Unbelievable.
All right. You can hit us up on social media at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Drew Butler. He is at AaronMurray11, puntandpass.com. We got a huge week coming up. Our boy Aaron Murray is calling the Georgia Auburn game on CBS, 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time, SEC on CBS. Anything on the way out, my man?
No, it's going to be me and Noah.
Is Noah going to be the play by play guy?
Yeah, no, he's going to be the play-by-play guy.
Yeah, that'll be fantastic. I'm dialing.
God, his voice.
I can't wait.
So I'm literally just texting him now. I was like, hey, I need your routine before you do games. So like, we'll walk through it on Friday night and have you tuned up and ready to go.
I think
Saturday.
He gargles Wild Turkey whiskey. I think that's what he does.
Yeah, 100%.
Got to get that deep raspy voice.
Literally, I mean, he's calling the game, and I'm like, oh, my God, I feel like I'm sitting next to his dad.
Yeah, Iron Eagle. stud.
He sounded just like him. I was like, goodness gracious.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it'll be us two and New Highs on the booth.
Oh, dude, perfect. Love that crew. Love that crew. Awesome. All right, well, everybody have a great week. We will talk to you on Thursday. He's Aaron. I'm Drew. We'll talk to you Thursday. See you.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.